We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
The Bernstein and Rahimi Show, middays 9 a.m. to noon on The Score. Reasonable, level-headed, informed sports talk for your workday.
I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, it's not anything I haven't faced already. I feel like I faced a pretty good amount of wide receiver ones.
A lob to the end zone, going for it, and he gets away from Johnson for the catch.
DeAndre Hopkins makes the catch for six.
Kyler Murray looking, now rolling, trying to catch up to him. Bears at the 10 to the 5. He's going to prince into the end zone.
Meanwhile,
plenty of time, going to come clean, and the ball's tipped and intercepted. Off the hands of Grant and intercepted on the near side. Throw inside the 10, it's off the hands of the receiver. Komet and picked up by Buda Baker. Andy Dalton back to throw on first down. The pass intercepted. Throw back screen, it's intercepted by the Cardinals, rumbling down the far side of the 20. Andy Dalton with a high tackle made. And it's Zach Allen out of Boston College with a pick, the fourth of the day by the Arizona Cardinals.
The Bernstein and Rahimi Show.
It's all a problem.
Middays, 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Happy Bears Monday. It's Bears Monday. That means Kevin Fishbane. He'll join us at 9:40. It means Hub Arkush. He'll join us at 11. And then a whole bunch of other stuff. It'll be mostly Bears. We'll take a couple of breaks for a couple of less awful things. And then we'll just sort of talk through where we are and what this is. And I wish I had easy answers. There are none at this point. There's no real guidance. And unfortunately, there's no real understanding of who's in charge and the extent to which they care about any of it.
This is where I would usually make a Charles joke about him being in charge, but he ruined that for us.
Well, speaking of like not understanding how to make a joke, that was like Schlereth yesterday with he's like, well, that's happened 9 times. Sort of like Ferris Bueller's absences were also not. It's like whatever comedy neuron tried to fire just completely fizzled out. Just say 9 times and people will get it.
Maybe he knows he's not good at impressions, though.
But that's not even an impression. He just something. Get it out. Just spit it out somehow. It's like there was something like, make Ferris Bueller reference, run comedy protocol 6X5. It was just not working, whatever
so
it was.
So you're saying Mark Schlereth is a robot?
It kind of.
And it all comes back to Friday's conversation.
Yep, about Boston Dynamics and all that. Kind of, I guess.
Hell no.
Yep. I know.
Show's off the rails at 9:29.
And so it happens. Surprises along the way as well. 312-644-6767 is the Score listener line powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Your emails go to BernsteinRahimi at 670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live as we stream at 670thescore.com. As we broadcast live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Speaking of Hyundai, the text zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. When you text, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter's at Bernstein Rahimi. She's at Layla Rahimi. I'm at Dan_Bernstein. Download the Odyssey app to stream The Score on your mobile devices. Join the fun on Twitch. Twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore.com. Right now it is Evan Thomas directing the video feed and moderating the Twitch chat, and Connor O'Donnell handles some of that stuff as well. Rick Camp's our executive producer, Mike Rankin, our sound man, and did I see them executioner skulking around? I think he was doing the things that he does somewhere and helping out. But
Ray Diaz.
Yep, indeed. Click. You can just click another one off the schedule there. Just check mark it, and that was a game, and it happened. and we get on with our lives. But from the moment we sat down for it, it just never felt like they had a chance to win. And as the game unfolded, there was a couple of players trying and some players kind of standing around and looking at each other. And you know what it comes down to? This roster sucks. The roster. Like,
you know, like Marquis Christian and Artie Burns.
Look who's out there. Look who's the hell is Xavier Crawford? Who are you? What are you doing out there?
They're guys.
Why am I paying attention to Xavier Crawford?
They're guys you need on your football team, just hopefully not all at the same time.
Yes, well said.
Like, I don't want to make it personal against them. They're doing their jobs. It's not their fault. It is Ryan Pace's. Ryan Pace's.
Yes. This roster. Like, who are these people? What are they doing? And you got your offensive line back. You got a perfectly the year started. I don't know, they can't block. You can't play Justin Fields. They can't block anybody. They can't block offensive line. Their offensive line's fine. That's fine. You got a full blown starting ass offensive line
that
out there.
That starting offensive line was picked to be 28th in the league by Pro Football Focus healthy.
Yes.
So before we go saying that that's all sunshine and lollipops, let's also establish what it was supposed to be.
Fine. Fair.
We have gaslighted ourselves into thinking that healthy offensive line for the Bears is the standard right now. And frankly, I have some issues with the middle.
It's very difficult to ask Bears fans to feel strongly about what's happening down there. It's hard to. We watch and we go through these motions and we get 3 hours of our life and then those 3 hours are gone and we ask ourselves what we did. And I admire the people who left at halftime and thousands of people left at halftime. And I mentioned this yesterday. I almost wanted to go to the game just to savor the feeling of leaving it, because that had
no,
to
you didn't.
That had to feel awesome. That had to feel awesome to turn to your family and say, gather up your stuff. We're going home.
You do that to them every time there's a Bears game. You just say, gather up your stuff. We're staying at home.
But no, that's, our process is a little different. We have a little different thing of once more under the breach of preparing the whole mise en place and having, you know, the people who want to leave the room because of the screaming will leave the room. But I'll say this, I wasn't screaming. I wasn't.
Dan's taking the fun out of taking more fun out of going to Bears games than the Bears are.
No, that's the best feeling. You get everybody up. You're up at 5 in the morning or whenever you are, and you go and you make your sausages, and then you bundle up and you sit, and then, here come the Bears.
When's the last time you did it?
Last time I did it as a fan?
Yes. Because I'm just calling out the fact you had zero thoughts of going to this game.
Oh, no, I never would go.
Less than zero.
As I mentioned, the exhibition game this year against Buffalo was, God, I haven't been as a fan since 90 or 91 as a fan. Like,
exactly.
No, I mean, that, because it's insane. That idea is completely bonkers, but just the idea of just the poor guy with his poncho and everybody's there and they're wet and they're sad. And there had to be this collective moment of what are we doing?
Oh, yeah, that guy in the poncho was all of us. Me, mostly every day of the week, but...
You with your umbrella?
Everything. That is my life in a nutshell. But, like, that is also the Bears. But when Adam Johns and guys like Patrick Manley last week are pointing out the same thing, which is you're down to, like, Bruce Irvin, Margus Hunt, Xavier Crawford, Cassius Marsh, Christian Jones, and Kendall Vildor. And Kendall Vildor is supposed to be your second dude. That's who you're going with. And don't forget, Kendall Vildor was the plan.
So was Andy Dalton.
Oh, yeah. Andy Dalton was the original plan. How many times did I say to you I was concerned about his touchdown to interception ratio?
I was concerned about the fact that he was Andy Dalton.
But seriously.
Like, did I read this right? That is his fifth four-interception game. Oh, I never saw this coming from Andy Dalton. Yeah, except four other times. But
we can talk about position redundancy with the Bears and how well illustrated it is in Ryan Pace's actions. But there's no better example than to see the position redundancy they have on the lines up front, and then how bad that secondary got on purpose yesterday. Like, that's, I don't care what weather it is. If I'm Kyler Murray and I'm DeAndre Hopkins, I'm working out the kinks for the playoffs against that team. We do not care. You know the margin for error is going to be a lot in their favor. It showed. Do what you need to do. But the idea, again, that Ryan Pace is somehow excused from all of this is an absolute joke.
He's not excused by anybody except the people above him, apparently. And that's what's immensely frustrating.
Well, guess what? Then we all get to carry the weight and carry the freight because somebody's got to keep this honest.
Well, you have a big bag of receipts. And
we all do.
And I think getting to that, maybe around 10-20, I think it'd be to dive into your bag of receipts there, because someone has to do it. It does have to be done if the Bears themselves aren't going to do it, because it really is, it's learned helplessness. It's like a beaten animal after a while that just thinks this is what's coming, this is what happens.
It's not fair to anybody either. It's not fair to, like, the players who are working hard that we have a laugh about this in the way we do. Like I said, those are people you need on a football team. You just don't want them on the field at the same time.
And other teams will make those guys matter. Other teams are going to find the guys you've never heard of, and then you will hear of them when they're flailing at a ball that's going over their head.
They'll put them in a position to succeed on other teams.
Yeah, that too. I wasn't even going to take it that far, but then you'll find it. Wait, wasn't that guy on the Bears that just ran in for a touchdown against us? Yeah, that happens too. Kevin Fishbane has all sorts of Bears thoughts, and he will come your way next on The Score.
Oh, Bears!
Kevin Fishbane, Bears beat writer for The Athletic.
Justin Fields, he is big, he is fast, he's got a great arm, he's a great leader. It's hard to really find any weakness in what he did in college, and he was just a winner. I mean, the guy just went out and won a ton of games by being an incredible quarterback.
Kevin Fishbane.
What's the saying? If you have 9 tight ends, do you even have one?
Talking Bears on 670 The Score.
We can do that on a Bears Monday, and we like to because he provides intelligent perspective, which is something at least my part of the show desperately needs. Kevin Fishbane is with us on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. You can follow him on Twitter at @KFishbane, the Bears beat writer for The Athletic. It's another one off the schedule, Fish. I don't know how to compartmentalize it other than, as we continue to do, we look at the loss, we look at the disparity of the Bears relative to other teams, and then we slowly engage in this like drip, drip, drip of broadening and globalizing into larger questions that leave us bereft. You know what I mean? It's like we follow the same patterns on some of this stuff.
Yes, it's a bereft Bears Monday here on 670 The Score. I think you have 2 games left, really, that the next 2 where you're on prime time and you're playing division rivals in terms of stacking up to see where you rank against these teams, and then you're doing it in front of a national audience. And look, we all know that ownership here, how much they care about that Packers rivalry. And you look into what could happen on Sunday night, and it probably won't go well. And it's like, so this game, you're right, Dan, it's just like, I kind of tweeted this early on when the Bears went down 14-0. Like, when you're a bad team, you just find these creative ways to lose, right? You find these different ways. You know, yesterday it was, you know, a dropped pass becoming an interception, a throw behind a guy becoming an interception, you know, giving up the 4th down touchdown pass to, you know, a great receiver. Like, you just check those off the bingo card of like, all right, well, this is how they're going to lose this one. And then you step away. You're like, well, what can we take from this? You know, with Andy Dalton starting, it's like there's just so little you can take. And we're all sitting here being like, you know, the hope is if Justin Fields can come back for Sunday night, at least you could sit there and just try to watch Justin Fields and hope you can learn more about what he can be one day. But it's going to be hard to do that when you think about who's around him.
I'm worried about the idea of them rushing him back. I don't want this team to rush Justin Fields back with the rib injury that takes time to heal, especially when he's trying to get out of the pocket so much. We all know how much he's getting hit, even as he's throwing the ball. Those don't get counted on any stat sheet. Why would you put him up to this against the Packers in cold weather, which doesn't help muscles around your ribs either? I'm trying to figure all of that out, wondering what is the gain in this for Fields other than development?
Layla, do you care more about the potential franchise quarterback or those of us who have to write about the team?
I'm going to say the potential franchise quarterback only because I know the struggles of those who have to write about the team.
Yes, you're absolutely right. It's they shouldn't rush him back. They should, it's weird because on the one hand, I think if there's a shred of doubt or shred of concern about his ribs, you keep him out. But if the second there isn't any worry, I still think you play him because I think he can still gain a lot from getting this experience down the stretch. So I think you just wait. You wait until that moment when you get that all clear in whatever direction it is. So I do agree with you. I think it's silly for them to rush him back. And look, Andy Dalton showed us who he was yesterday. But it's weird because the offense wasn't horrible yesterday, and I'm using horrible as a very low bar because we've seen such horrible offense here over the years. Like, he was fine. He was Andy Dalton. It's like it's what they signed up for. I'll put it this way. I think it's okay to see more Andy Dalton the rest of the season than some of the other guys we've seen at this portion of the year of a bad, wayward season.
What did you hear from David Montgomery yesterday? It's one thing to say, what do we see from him? But to hear him with his heart on his sleeve after the game, the guy, he plays with an obvious amount of heart. And the way he talked after the game sounded like, I don't know, I don't want to project too much because I'm certainly guilty of doing that often. But he sounded like somebody who's realizing what he's into here, just the depth of the disparity between how hard he works and how much he cares and how far away they are from that mattering.
Yeah, it's a real frustration from him, Dan. And I wrote this last night that it's hard to always know for sure, but I don't think it's lip service from him. Like, I think this is just who he is. Like, he said, like, I'll take 12 yards at 0.1 yards a carry if we're winning. And I kind of believe him. Like, that's just kind of the way the guy is wired. And as you said, you watch the way he runs. He just doesn't go down at first contact. He's out there just trying to just break any tackle he can. He's getting the ball more than anybody else yesterday. And it's terrible conditions, and they're losing to the best team in the league. It's been an interesting evolution for Montgomery. His rookie season wasn't good for the most part. And he that really, you could tell how much that mattered to him because the team wasn't playing well. And you could tell every time we talked to him, he just kept being like, we're not winning. I don't care. But you could tell it was wearing on him. Then last year he gets on a roll, they get on a roll. And then he comes into this season and he really took on a leadership, spot with this team. The guys are, he's young, but there's guys around the offense that look up to him, and you just wonder how many guys in that locker room think like him and how many of these young guys can look to him and say, yeah, you need that reminder, right? Dan, I think I told you last week when you were kind of asking, what matters going forward, and I said, sometimes you look to players like that and you root for those players, right? If you're a fan of this team and you know what's going to happen at the end of the season, you know this team's not making the playoffs, you look for those individual players, and he's somebody that you want to root for because you can hear and you can feel and you can sense how frustrating, how difficult this has been, and how much it still matters to him.
It really did seem like there was a collective sigh of relief amongst the writers who I do care about that Montgomery spoke and said what he said, and you have the self-awareness that he brings, and also Roquan Smith. And for the record, David Montgomery wore a Whitney Houston t-shirt yesterday, and that is why I'm wearing mine today. So I would say he is a leader, at least to people he doesn't even know.
Yeah, Layla, I walked out of that press conference and, it's exactly what the feeling was. Because you just, again, it's like, what can you take from this game? And I don't think what Dave Montgomery said, it's not like it's going to be this rallying cry and they're going to go out and beat the Packers on Sunday night. But it's refreshing to hear that from a player, especially in this world where it's also so easy for these guys to not, I've talked to you guys about this before. It's really easy for these guys to not talk to us after games. They get, there's no open locker room anymore. And he volunteered to go up there, and you know, look, he spoke longer than the quarterback did. Granted, we didn't have a whole lot of questions for the quarterback, so that's not his fault. But I think that, like, those are times you walk out and you're like, wow, like, it's nice to hear that from somebody. And it's one thing, like, there's a lot of guys who can go out there and say it, but with him, again, you watch the way he plays, and you know that it reflects the way he is. And he's somebody that, you know, he'll be on the team next year, and he's going to be the starting running back next year, and this offense should continue to try to revolve themselves around him, because right now, you look at that squad they put out there, and Layla, you put it perfectly about the players that are out there. They shouldn't all be out there together. You shouldn't have a quartet of receivers the way the Bears did yesterday. And the defensive backs they tried out there. And that's what injuries have done, and it's really magnified the lack of depth on this team.
I keep thinking about the when, not the if, but the when, regarding not just Nagy or whoever else it may be. And what needs to start happening immediately if we're dealing with any fait accompli here, as we've seen what's gone on with the upheaval in college, and even today with Mario Cristobal and Manny Diaz and all of the musical chairs that are occurring here, for lack of a better metaphor, the one that we always revert to, that if whoever is in charge of the Bears, whoever is empowered to make these decisions or has been told by a raised eyebrow from Virginia that it's okay to begin the procedure, there's a lot that needs to be done. What permissions and phone calls and outreach, and it's just so Bears to finally talk their way or whisper their way into the hard decision, and then it's too damn late because you didn't start soon enough. And at some point, it's got to begin. And although the rules allow them to do it sooner and sooner, it's just, when do we start to sense the wheels are turning?
Yeah, Dan, you know, look, nothing is stopping the person in charge of this building from sitting at his computer and creating a database and doing his research and making phone calls and talking to people. Like, there's nothing that's stopping him from doing that right now. Like, yeah, he can't interview anybody, but you would think that he's got, you know, he should have a Rolodex right now. And I'm talking about George McCaskey. He should know, you know, the direction, at least a couple directions he could go. Like, there's no reason not to, you know, have those things in mind, to have those things at the ready. You know, and look, when they came in here the day after the 2014 season ended, they had their plan, right? Like, you could tell they knew for a while what they were going to do. They came in, they fired Phil Emery, Mark Trestman. They told us that they hired Ernie Accorsi. We obviously all know how that went. And, you know, I think that you cannot go that route. Obviously, that didn't work that time. You need to change, right? Like, I feel like one of my first questions on that day, if we're presuming there's going to be an upcoming search, is what's going to be different? Why is this going to be different, the way you go about this? And I think everything
Good.
Goes back.
Stay to, on that.
Yeah, and everything goes back to me, to George McCaskey, and that, like, this is all on him. And it's got to be him who's making these calls in terms of how, in proving that this is going to be different the way they go about this. And you know, he's got all the time in the world right now, not all the time, he's got a month to kind of sort through that process, and he can start doing the due diligence right now to be ready for that day.
I feel like he's had more than a month, because he said in that press conference that made us all insane in January that to start, what they were going to do is not going to be a popular decision. They knew then. And they dragged this out yet another year. And what's frustrating to me about this, on top of everything that we've already discussed, is when guys like Mully and Haas say, well, beating the Packers or losing to the Packers really upsets the McCaskey family.
Apparently not.
No, it doesn't. And nearly beating them with Khalil Mack to open the season in 2018, which is what anybody seems to care about, losing the playoff game, is what makes everyone happy here, because Ryan Pace got executive of the year for giving away two first round draft picks, which is a self troll in my opinion. And then Matt Nagy is the coach of the year because he figured out what to do with a very talented roster because of the team that came before him. And he supposedly came in to fix Mitch Trubisky, which he didn't do either, by the way. So that to them is the standard. And that's what we're faced with. Nearly beating the Packers is good enough to them. Losing a playoff game is practically winning a Super Bowl of some sort.
You know, Layla, I've been toying with this hypothetical in my mind for the past 2 or 3 weeks. Could you imagine if Justin Fields starts on Sunday night and, like, has the game of his life? Like, I mean, it's just, like, I know I don't want to go down this path too far, but sometimes I just, like, some people like to see the world
burn. Throwing
to
Rodney Adams and Cole Kmet, he's going to have the game of his life? I want what you're smoking.
Listen, I think it's, like, if you're looking for something to think about this week, I just think it's entertaining to think about, like, the type of, you know, what it would do to the minds of the people in charge here if they saw it, if it happened. It's like, oh, my God, what should we do now? We just beat the Packers with Justin Fields. Should this change everything? Like, it's just, again, it's not going to happen, but it's just sometimes kind of funny to think about, knowing how much that rivalry matters. And to Layla, to what you were just talking about, the things that they balance, the things that they weigh, what that could mean if they just got Aaron Rodgers on a bad day. And he has one or two a year. Like,
the Saints, again, the Saints,
not
going to
happen. Yes.
The Saints come on opening day. Yeah. Well, yeah. we almost beat the Packers that one time, and it was really great. We're in the hunt. Stop. And that's frankly what they care about.
Yeah. It is. And that's why, again, I toy with this ridiculous hypothetical, just because I think it's just, like, silly to think I think it's silly to think about how unlikely that is. Like, look where this team is at. It's the fourth year of this head coach. It's the 7th year of this GM. And you're sitting here, and the Bears are going to be the biggest underdogs they've been since John Fox's last season on Sunday night. And you think of everything they've done in free agency, in the draft, and all the things that they say about this team and what they've compiled here, and they're going to be nearly 2 touchdown underdogs against their rival. Like, that just tells you everything you know about where this team is right now and how far backward they have gone since that playoff loss.
Let's all say it together. Go Bears.
Yeah.
Kevin, thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
All right, take care.
Thanks, Kevin.
That's Kevin Fishbane. Next up, something was said early in the game, and I just said I got this weird sense of deja vu, because it was so similar to something that happened nearly 20 years ago, and it just further cemented this idea that time is a flat circle and we're trapped in some sort of hellscape hamster wheel.
Scoretail?
Maybe kind of a little, yeah.
Yes, that's the only way we can get out of this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.